Take your Bibles now and go to the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke chapter 15. I'll be reading a lengthy passage of Scripture this evening. Luke chapter number 15 will begin in verse number 11 and read all the way through the end of the chapter, through verse number 32. Luke chapter number 15, or read responsively, I'll read verse number 11. You'll join me on verse 12 all the way through the end of the chapter this evening. Luke chapter number 15, beginning in verse number 11, the Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I thee at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what's taken place already here today. Holy Spirit, how we have sensed your presence through the preaching of your word. Lord, it has truly been a wonderful day to be here. Holy Spirit, this evening in a special way, Lord, as we gather again, Lord, may it not just be another evening. Lord, may it not just be another service and another sermon, another truth. But Lord, may tonight be unique to each and every one of us individually, because it would be a night that we look back on and recognize, Lord, yet again, how you've done something in our hearts through the truth that you have prepared for us. Would you be with Brother Jackson as he preaches this evening? May he be filled with your Holy Spirit as he preaches, but may we also be yielded to that same Holy Spirit as we listen. Would your hand be upon this place? Would you allow our minds to focus on the truth that's been prepared? We ask all these things in your name. Amen, and you may be seated.
Amen. Let me introduce Brother Jackson to you. Some of you weren't in here this morning. Here's a young man who about 25, 26 years ago, I became his youth director down in Charleston, South Carolina. You standing up over top behind me? Remember, I have something to take care of that. Okay? but he's a fine man of God.
Yes, sir.
As you heard this morning, he is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I remember him as a teenager, some of the stories he told I remembered quite well. I watched him. I remember when he was called to preach. And I remember talking to him and praying with him. And can I tell you something? Sometimes we miss blessings because we don't stay at it long enough. When we taught on finances, if you remember, I said the Bible talked about tilling the field. Well, you don't plant the field today and reap it tomorrow.
That's right.
It takes seasons. It takes a long time. You don't plant a fruit tree today and get apples at the end of the week.
Right.
Sometimes it takes years. But decades later, this is what you get. And it's exciting. I'm proud of him. My wife said that today, she said, I had a hard time listening to him at first because I just kept saying, wow, wow. And she was just enamored with what God has done. And, you know, we used to see a scrawny little, well, not little, scrawny tall kind of young man, but he is a very fine man of God, evangelist traveling our country, preaching with the right kind of stand, right kind of doctrine. By the way, I'm honored to have a friend like Brother Jamie Jackson. Brother Jackson, come preach to us tonight.
Once again, what an honor it is to be here, for one, and not only be here, thank you, I appreciate it, not only be here, but this time not be that person that I guess shows his emotions like I did this morning. Not that there's anything wrong with that at all, but there is something wrong when you have that person that's an ugly crier, and I'm an ugly crier. You know, so sorry about that. Yes, very good. So I thank you guys for allowing me to come here. Thank you guys for allowing me to have this opportunity. This is, like you said, it was one of those nuggets that you never thought that you would ever be in the place where God has placed you. And it's only by his grace and him alone am I here. And I don't take it lightly. I don't take it for granted. Besides, you know, our Lord, not only is he big, strong, and mighty, but he's also a God that has a sense of humor. Because before I came here, I was in Montana. The one thing that people do not know about me is I am 6'9", but I am terrified of heights. So you can only imagine being in Montana, where it's 80 miles an hour in and out of mountains. And can I tell you this, the prayer life hasn't been any better than it's been there. Talking about going on a roller coaster. I mean, literally, there are some roads there where it looks like you're ting, 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 you know, going to heaven. And so it's, yes. And, you know, I'm all for going to heaven, all for having a good time, but not on the next busload, amen, you know. So, thank you so much. Thank you for the fruit basket. Just in case, I know, you know, obviously I have another opportunity to be with you guys, but I just felt that it was very fitting to say thank you. Thank you for taking care of the man of God. I'll talk about that maybe a little bit more. You have to understand, I'm not saying this to scare you, but like with my message that I have, I'm not exactly sure where all I will be going. Basically, I'm Holy Spirit. I'm an empty vessel. Use me tonight. The message that I have 9 pages of information. That's what I said. I did not say that to scare you. I said that to tell you I'm not sure what God has for you, but I know he has something for you.
Amen.
The first thing that I can say that he would definitely have with you, if you don't mind. No, I'm not checking the score of my team, even though I just saw that one of our players are injured. but I did have this message from someone for you guys.
Hey, everyone. This is Michael and Mindy. We just wanted to pop in and say hello since we got a messenger. Thanks for their Jamie for playing this for everybody. Everything's going great down here in Georgia. We just wanted to say, hey, that we love you all. We miss you, and we pray for all of you. And we are hoping y'all have a fantastic Sunday.
All right. Oops, I guess there was one other thing. She said, love y'all. Well, she had a little break. I tell you what, there's nothing like hearing Mindy and then hear Miss Bush. Like, if you're not careful, boy, you'll be talking to one. I'll be like, hey, girl. She'd be like, excuse me. Oops, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry there. But, so.
Yeah.
So, but it's definitely great to be here. By the way, just because we serve God and we get in the Bible, we can have fun too.
Amen.
We can have fun, and I mean, we can be a deep Baptist by having fun and eating at the same time.
Right.
Most Baptists, you know, we're known for eating, but let's have fun and eat at the same time.
Man.
I don't know about you, but there's nothing like a Reese's peanut butter cup. They call that a double blessing, peanut butter and chocolate.
Amen.
Ladies,
woo!
Come on now. Man. Wow. Look at that. See, if God's not in it, I don't know. Woo! That's manna right there.
Glory to Dios.
Yes. Got him speaking in tongues. Yes. Yes. But tonight, when I met with God, he wanted me to bring you this passage about the prodigal son. I believe if any of us have been in church for any length of time, we've heard the story. We've heard how one son wanted now and how forever he will constantly have that memory of that swine there. Can I tell you this? We all need to be very cautious of what we do today, not knowing what it will lead to tomorrow.
That's right.
He was a Jewish young man. They didn't like pigs. They didn't have anything to do with pigs. But now we see him working for a Gentile. Not only working for a Gentile, but this young man is now serving the Gentile by feeding pigs. I'm not sure about you if you ever fed a pig, but in my family, my grandmother, she had a bucket that was on, it was in the, I guess, the corner of the room. Nothing else was by that bucket. Oftentimes I wondered, why in the world did she decorate everything but not decorate that corner? One time I got the opportunity of finding out why she did not decorate that corner. She said, Jamie, it's time for you to take the bucket out and feed the pigs. Of course, in my mind, I was like, well, Grandma, is something wrong with you? But of course, I wouldn't dare say that. I think we all understand. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, my family didn't whoop. We beat.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest. You know, my dad hit for distance. Yes. Yes. So now I find myself where she decided that she'd be a little bit easier on me because I was small and it was big, so going to pick it up. So she would put it in the two different buckets. And then all of a sudden, I find myself walking with these two buckets. And of course, as you're walking, you begin to sway. And it's South Carolina, and the humidity's there. And all of a sudden, what's in that bucket, which was all the leftover food, and maybe it was grits, or maybe it was bread that had molded over, and they just decided to dump it in there. And now all that goodness had been sitting there. And of course, not only sitting there, it had been sitting there and maturing, shall we say. And now it's to the point where I'm carrying it. And I'm carrying it, and that smell was starting to hit me. My grandma's like, walk faster. And of course, the more you walk faster, the more it begins to splash back and forth. boy, finally I would find myself getting to the gate. And when I got to the gate, my grandmother would open it up for me. And when she would open it up for me, all of a sudden I would step on something. It was a little bit different than what I was stepping on before. And it looked like mud, but didn't smell like it. And all of a sudden, I find myself in Jell-O pudding, which that's the way it looks like. And all of a sudden, the pigs begin to realize what was going on and what was happening. And oftentimes, if I wasn't careful, like the first time, when it hit me, I dropped the buckets and went hand face first. So you can only understand during that time when I popped back up. Yes. And now I remember that from reading this. Can I tell you this? Not one single time did I think about licking my fingers. There was no time where I ever was like the colonel, where I was like, that's finger licking, finger licking, finger licking, finger licking. Good. No time. Not even picking your nose, brother. You didn't pick anything. And all of a sudden, I would put that down. I would slosh the buckets, as they would call it, and it would go all over there. Not one time, again, that I think about ever getting down there with the pigs and having a little bit of a second blessing. I mean, you understand. But yet we find this young man here. That's why we preach the way we do. That's why we have the standards the way we do. Well, why is Pastor so big on us doing this and not doing that? Because that way brings you closer to the swine. So let's set up that safeguard in every single one of our lives. That way we don't end up in some way we never ever thought that we would be like him. Boy, we go to the other son. The son that we could all be proud of. And by the way, sometimes I think he gets a little bit of a bad denotation where they said he didn't forgive and he didn't do some things. And I completely understand that. But I also understand if he was doing right the whole time and he finally did come home and he saw that they were throwing a celebration for him, for his brother, and not for him, I can understand why he would get a little bit miffed, if we would understand that. But let us also learn from him. Because if he lived the rest of his life the way he should have, we only know that one blimp that he had in his life. And that's the constant thing that he's reminded of. Let us be conscious of our family name. Let us be conscious of the church name. When you go out there, they just don't see you. They say, oh, that's a member of... Now a good name is rather to be chosen than the great riches. Now we better live above reproach. Because we all know in today in our society that we live in now, you're just one blame away. Not from being found guilty, from being said that you're guilty.
That's right.
And then proven innocent later on when no one else cares. Because it's not the story anymore. Let us learn from this prodigal son. Before we pray, I'll tell you this story, and it kind of, I guess, it would launch us into where we're going tonight. As I told you, with my family that I have, 1, 2, 3, we would oftentimes, my dad would work. And for me to spend time with my dad, I had to go to work. That was the rule. My dad had a rule. He's like, I don't believe in welfare. He said, so here's the deal. He's like, I'm not going to pay you for doing chores. He said, because that's what you're supposed to do. If you want to live in my house, you're going to do that.
Yes, that's right.
So he said, but if you work, if you need money, I'll give it to you. And boy, that's the way that he raised us.
Yes, sir.
So you can only imagine. Like any one of us that have been in here, when you hear your parents use more than one of your names, you know that, Houston, we have a problem. It was Jamie Jackson. Yes, sir? He was like, son, I've been calling you. I'm like, Dad. Yes, sir. What do you need? Is it something I can help? He was like, yes. He's like, son, I'm having a hard time starting this lawnmower. He's like, I need you to run inside the shed, grab the screwdriver. Now, I need you to grab the screwdriver that doesn't have the plastic on the end. It's all screwdriver. Run in there and get it real quick. I went in there, grabbed the screwdriver real quick, came back out. I was like, okay, here you go, Dad. He's like, all right, now here's what I need you to do. I need you to bend over, and I need you to, don't get ahead of me. He said, I need you to bend over, and I need you to touch the spark plug and put it on the metal and let me pull this thing to help me get it started.
For real?
Oh, yeah. So now let me give you a little bit of a science behind this. Electricity, when it's entered into the body, it doesn't bounce around. It goes straight through. Mm-hmm. Now, imagine someone bending over and touching the spark plug. He said, son, is it on there? Yes, sir. Is it on there good? Absolutely, yes, sir. And he pulled the string, and when he pulled the string, I not only heard the psh, I felt it. Once again, we're all family. I'm here. I felt it in the gluteus maximus. Immediately, I stood up, and here my family, we're all runners. Boy, I began to run around the house, and my dad caught me on the second lap. And he said, son, my grandfather did that to me, so I'm doing that to you. And he said this to me also. He said, son, if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough.
Amen.
So every single time, in my family, when I did something and my dad thought was dumb, he was like, pretty tough, aren't you? Then it just got to the point, you're going to be dumb, you got to be
tough.
And he's like, pretty dumb, aren't you? If we don't watch it in our Christian life, you're going to be dumb. You better be tough.
It's good.
How many times do we see people coming from the world into here, hurting, scraped up, literally to the point where you don't see it, but literally the pastor's duct taping them together,
yes, sir,
to keep them going. Yet oftentimes, we as Christians, if we don't set up that safeguard, we're constantly just going to be looking over, well, that's not too bad. I don't know why Pastor makes that such a big deal. That's absolutely crazy. Well, if we don't watch it, those sayings will echo through your mind as much as they echo through mine. Now my dad doesn't even have to say anything. He just looks at me. Go ahead and say it. You want to be dumb, you got to be tough. I need to say anymore? No, sir. It's okay. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we need you. Lord God, we can't go through life without you. Lord God, we can't do anything without you. Heavenly Father, we ask you be with us for the next few minutes. Lord God, I want to be respectful of their time, but I also want to be respectful of you. Oh, please help me to get across what you would want, what you would receive, that these great people need. Oh, Heavenly Father, we give you the honor and praise. In your blessed Son's name we pray. Amen. Oh, when I think about that saying, if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. One can apply that to America.
Yes.
We can say America, because of our politically correctness, instead of everybody being called Americans, which is, I believe, that's why we're all here.
That's right.
Now we want to distance ourselves from that.
That's right.
And rewrite history. Mm-hmm. And cover it up by saying it's all about political correctness. Well, let me fill you in on politically correctness. It is said that we need to take the Bible out of schools. So they did. Now all of a sudden, we are found that teenage pregnancy from 15 to 19 years old has increased 187%.
That's right.
Now it is saying that from the age of 10 to 14 years old, pregnancies have increased 553%. But we're better off without them.
That's right.
We know better than God. We know better than God's people. It is said that STDs now have increased 226%. Beware when your sin is finished. Bringeth forth death. Violence has increased 544%. Abortions, we have now, congratulations, America, have it over 60 million lives have been taken. And we cover it up and say it's choice. I say it is choice. Either you do what God wants you to do, or you suffer the consequences.
That's right.
Of it. My Bible says that God doesn't like murder.
That's right.
And if God, being a God who is a just God, has to punish for that, Lord, help us all in this matter. Unmarried people living together has increased 353%. By the way, Christians are in this particular thing too. If Christians were doing their job, we wouldn't have a problem with elections.
That's right.
It is said that we are still a Christian nation. By the way, one of our last presidents, not the one that we have now, said that we are no longer a Christian nation. Most people didn't even balk at it. My first thought was, who are you to say that we are not a Christian nation?
Amen.
But they say over 60% of America still believes in God.
That's right.
Well, if that's true, why doesn't it show up?
That's right.
Where it needs to be?
That's good.
I'm not here trying to boast about polling and about going to vote. I think it's pretty clear.
Yes, sir.
When it comes to that matter, just on abortion by itself.
That's right.
Oh, it's one thing to answer to man, but it's another thing to answer to God.
Amen.
Oh, oftentimes I remember as a wee little lad, one time I was playing basketball and I was playing in a public school league at this time. And when we were playing, we were going up against another team who was really, really good. Boy, they were really good. And, man, we were going back and forth at each other. And, man, it was intense. I mean, the crowds were cheering back and forth. It was one of those games that you wanted to be it. I remember it was a halftime, and it was a very short halftime, like literally because there was a team that was before us and they were really, really late. So it backed up the schedule and they had to make up time. And they said the way that they could make up time was shorten halftime. It sounds really good unless you're a player. Well, I remember I was one of the players, and I came to the sideline, and it was like the coach called a timeout. He's like, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to fix things. Everybody got everything under control. All right. Break. Boy, we broke, and it was like a timeout. It was not like a halftime. But at halftime, if you were going this way, you are now going this way. Everybody understand? But I thought it was still a timeout. So they passed the ball to me, and they passed the ball to me. I was like, man, there is nobody around. What is the other team doing? Drove to the basket, dunked it, finished. All of a sudden, what are you doing? What are you doing? What? We're going that way. Oh. When I looked at the scoreboard, still changed for the other team. My teammates were like, if we lose, you better hope that we don't find you after the game. I was like, Lord, please help us not to lose. We lost in double overtime by 1 point. You want to be dumb. You got to be tough. I ran home that night. My cardio was in tip-top shape. I remember, you talked about my dad working, and oftentimes my dad would have the opportunity of having jobs where he needed to hire more people, so he'd hire some of my friends. And of course, I'd worked with my dad. I knew metal, and I think you can say my head was a little big, and you'll understand here in a second. And my dad had a metal frame, and he had the access for the frame that was down there, and it hadn't been put together yet. It was in the box, and when I walked by, I just overheard a conversation. You know how sometimes we overhear something and we think that we know exactly what they're talking about just from that 10 seconds, and even though they've been talking for a while. Well, that was this opportunity. And I remember I was walking by, and my dad was like, under no way or no circumstances can you separate these two pieces of metal. And I was like, I can separate those two pieces of metal. He was like, what? I was like, I can separate those two. I was like, Dad, you know I can separate those two pieces of metal. He was like, you can separate those two pieces of metal. Yes, sir. I can separate those two. He was like, well, go ahead and show me. So I was like, okay. Because normally when you get it out of the assembly box, when it's an axle, you can actually put it together and snap it, and then it snaps together. So I figured, all right, here's my opportunity. I'm going to grab it, and when I grab it, I'm going to unsnap it, lay it on the table, and be like, ta-da, just walk away. That was what was going through my head. Well, let me fill you in on reality. My dad said, go ahead and do it, because he had just welded them together. So it went from being really bright now right back to the natural color. It is still very, very hot. So here I am, a good friend, a great friend that I helped get the job. You would think would be like, hey, bro, it's a little hot. You may want to watch yourself. But we all know true friends are like, go ahead.
This will be dumb.
Okay. So here I am. Went to go grab it. Boom! When I went to go grab it, like literally you could hear the tsh- It literally, have you ever, when you had a little one, you had glue and you put it all over your hand and you peeled it off? You peeled off the glue. That was my skin coming off. The metal. My dad said, son, let me see your hand. Come on my hand. He's like, next time your dad tells you something, you better believe it. I was like, oh, yeah. He was like, do I need you to say it? I was like, no, sir. No, sir. You don't need to say it. I'm dumb. I'm really dumb. He's like, well, I'm not. So go in there and hurry up and take care of that before your mom finds out. But oftentimes, I wonder how many times God looks at us. And that thing that we've been praying about, Lord God, please give me an answer. Lord God, please give me an answer. Lord God, please give me an answer. And that day, like this morning, we talked about how this book is alive. And you would have an opportunity to read in your Bible these particular verses. And God's like, here it is, big fella. I'm going to deliver it to you. Here it is, mama. It's coming to you. And all of a sudden, you decide that day you weren't going to read your Bible. Or if you did, you were just going to read it to say enough to say that you did it, that you accomplished it. Oh, it happens to all of us. Sometimes life happens, and we're in a rush, and sometimes we just read what we have to read, and we get out of there. But oftentimes, we need to read. Like Dr. Lee Robertson said that he would read. He said he read until his heart burned within. He said he would read. Sometimes it would be one or two verses. And boy, I can testify to that. Sometimes I'd be like, Lord God, I need something. By the way, the reason why some of us don't get anything out of the Bible is because we need to get in touch with the author.
Yes, sir.
Oh, oftentimes I'd be reading. I'd be like, Lord God, I don't understand it. I'm going to read it again. Holy Spirit, can you please help me? And then all of a sudden I read it, and the next verse, like, poof, like, oh, man. Now, personal Bible reading, you can't be like, yeah, he really needed that. Sinner, get him, preacher, get him. You're the only person there. That'd be really weird if you started saying that. But when's the last time that your heart burned within? Because he talked to you. He told you about something. When's the last time that he helped you with something in your Bible reading? Young people, can I challenge you to do this? Why are you a Baptist? Find out in the Bible for yourself. You know, oftentimes we just have to give in to our pride and just be like, why am I a Baptist preacher? Can you sit down with me and tell me that way one day when a Jehovah Witness or somebody knocks on your door or ever you can just have a little fun, shall I say. I won't tell you about how we had fun and when they would come to our doors because we were already pretty solid on the faith. And so we wanted to help encourage them by going off the porch with fireworks, but we won't go there. But oftentimes in our life, not only should we read the Bible until it burns within, but when's the last time you had an answer to prayer? For something that just you were praying about and no one else was. Oftentimes we check off that list when pastor's praying and our dear brother, everybody else is praying for it. We're like, whoo, boy, God answered that prayer. Boy, I am one bad mama jamma. Boy, I am, whoo, boy, it is amazing. But if we really thought about it, everybody else was praying. Was it really our prayers that God answered? But can I tell you this? There's nothing like you going to your Heavenly Father and asking your Heavenly Father to help you with something. Something nobody else is praying for. And all of a sudden, that answer to prayer comes through, boy, there's nothing like knowing. Not only can you talk to your Heavenly Father and that you talk to your Heavenly Father, but He answers you. Can I tell you this? Sometimes the reason why we don't pray the way that we should is because we don't think or we play God ourselves. Well, God, why didn't you answer that? Why didn't you do this in this particular time? Why didn't you do that? Maybe sometime God just wants your attention.
Yes.
And since He has your attention, He just wants a little bit of loving from you because He knows that's the only time He gets it is when a trial or a tribulation comes into your life. We had a young man that was, actually he was an older guy that was in our church. He is now to the point where he's in his, I believe he said, he's in his 60s. He said for 34, 35 years, he said he prayed for something. And by the way, he asked everybody else to pray for the same thing too. Anytime we were in college class or anywhere, even if he was teaching, he'd be like, can y'all pray for someone for me? He said, my brother, if he was to drop dead right now, he would bust hell wide open. And that's exactly what he said. He was blunt as can be. I'm like, can you please pray for him? I'm like, yeah. I remember he said, my worst nightmare is to get an early morning call and see those numbers, that it's my brother, and pick up the phone and hear that my brother has perished without knowing God. He's like, I'm not praying to do something wrong. I'm not praying to have something that I know that I shouldn't have. He's like, he's not willing that any should perish, and I'm praying. But why? Oh, why is it not being done? He said, I wouldn't dare question God. He's like, but man, I don't understand everything. Then he said one night, it was getting late. He said, now It's the wee hours of the morning. He said it's about 2, 3 in the morning, just really getting to sleep. And he said his phone rings. He's like, who in the world is calling me right now? He said he reached over and he looked at his phone. And it's his brother's number. And he said, Lord, this can't be happening. He said he picked up the phone and he said, hello? And he said he could hear someone crying on the other end. He said they just kept crying and kept crying. I told you he was a guy that just tells you the way that it is. He said finally he just got fed up. He's like, would you just shut up and stop crying and just tell me what in the world is going on? He said that the person stopped and they were silent. And then all of a sudden he heard a voice that he wasn't expecting. He's like, hey, bud. He said, this is your brother. He's like, I know all these years that you were praying for me and accept God as my Lord and Savior. He said, I know it's late. He's like, but I thought if anybody that I need to tell immediately after I did this, it would be you, and that you wouldn't mind hearing this. He said he went from rubbing the eye boogers out of his eyes, ready to kill his brother for waking him up at this time, to woo! He said, man, all this time, he's like, man, that joy had been just building up, building up, building up. He said, man, he let it explode like Old Faithful. He was like, whoa! He said he was in there. He said he got so excited, he forgot that his wife was sleeping. And like, oh, yeah, like every good wife did, she came running in, trying to be the savior with the gun, like running into the room. She thought something had happened to her sweetie and she was going to save the day. And he said, woman, what are you doing? Put that away. She said, well, I heard you yelling and screaming. He said, hey, remember that prayer that we've been praying about all these years? We finally got an answer from heaven. He said he shared the news with her. And he said, brother, I now know what they were talking about when they were dancing or whatever in the Bible. He said, because me and my wife, for the next 15 to 20 minutes, he said, we were just dancing. Woo! He's like, man, it was such a great and joyous time. I said, brother, do you have a security camera in your house? He said, no, on purpose. My boy, even though he didn't hear from God, he just kept trying to be faithful. Lord God, he gave him scripture. Lord God, I'm claiming it. Lord God, I'm claiming this verse. Lord God, I'm claiming that verse. Lord God, I want to be a better Christian. But Lord God, I just want my brother to be saved. Lord God, I'm not praying for the Lamborghini, even though that would be great. Lord God, a red one. Woo, boy, that'd be mighty, mighty fine. By the way, like I told you that God had a sense of humor, I was in Grace Baptist Church in Montana there. And when I was there, they said, hey, brother, we just want to give you something. And they called me up to the stage, They had me close my eyes. And when I opened it, they had a little Lamborghini. And I said, my. Thank you, Lord. I was like, next time I just need to pray for a life-size one. But can I tell you this? He wants to hear from you. Yes. He wants to hear from you. Hey, you want this church to go to the next level? Let everybody in the church be on one accord with this thing called prayer. Let everybody be able to get in touch with God. That's why we told you to worry about forgiveness and to worry about some of these things. That's why the pastor meets with you. That's why the pastor prays for you. Why? He wants this family to be healthy. He wants God's family to be healthy to where you can get a hold of God. Hey, like I told you this morning, we don't have to go to a stinking priest. We don't have to worry how his relationship is with God. If he's just wanting a payout, we don't have to worry about any of those things. things. By the way, it's amazing how the Baptist churches are the ones that always get blamed. Well, that preacher just always wants money. Go to the Catholic church, why don't you? Amen. Whatever. Hey, I'll forgive you of your sins. Boop. Ta-da. Cash only, please. Brother, I was in one church, and I was there, and it was because of a funeral in my family, and they were not of a religion that we would talk about nor waste our time with. But brother, the pastor took seven offerings. Seven. Wow. Oh yeah, he would pass the offering plate, then he would pass it, then the lead usher would, or the lead deacon would come to him and tell him the amount. And be like, people, are y'all trying to rob God? He was like, we got needs here. You better pass it again. And boy, they passed it again. They came back, and he was like, He's like, do I need to call names? Do I need to do this stuff? Boy, he passed it a few more times. I was like, ooh. I'm a boy, that would change some Baptist churches, wouldn't it? They're like, last time preacher called names. Not today. Not this family. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. But yet they always blame us. But let it be said that, no. The pastor does ask for offerings sometimes. But I woefully give it. And look what God has done. Amen. We can't say that it was just us. But we can say, look what God has done. Amen. We can say, hey, Wednesday when we come back, it's going to be paved. It's going to be looking good. Hey, this church is still doing something for God. Let it never, ever stop. Boy, if it's not just because the buildings, let it be said inside.
Yes, sir.
That you're people that pray. You're people that get a hold of God. Oh, how's your relationship with your Heavenly Father?
It's good.
You can fool me. You can fool even your wife. You can fool your husband, but you can't fool him. When's the last time you got an answer to prayer? Oftentimes, it's because of our own sin that keeps us from it. I would want nothing between me and you. That way, our relationship is sweet. To whenever I do need something, I can get it answered. Well, anybody would want that. By the way, any parent who's worth their salt will love to meet their kids' needs. Yes. That's why we are all called child of God. Because not only do we look like him, do we operate like him, but literally we're born into God's family. Amen. So he cares about you. Not enough just to die, like I said this morning, but to meet your needs. Let us not be the reason that he doesn't do it. Oftentimes it's said if there's sin in the camp, or there's something in your life that you need to take care of, take care of it.
Yes.
Oftentimes we wait, well, I'm not going to take care of that until that preacher names it and he points at me. I was in a church in Florida, and I'll say this and be wrapping up. Boy, I was there and preached Sunday morning. And Sunday night, I sat down, it was Sunday afternoon, and arrived at church there early. And, well, I don't want to say older, a seasoned member of the church came down, and she sat next to me, and she's like, I just want you to know. She said, I hate your guts. And I was like, well, amen. She's like, you said something this morning that has made me cry all day. And I was like, ma'am, I didn't curse, did I? She was like, no. I was like, good. Just making sure. I was like, I'm sorry. If I offended you, she's like, you don't need to apologize. She said, because I was playing that game that you were talking about. In my head, well, Lord, you're going to have to name it. And all of a sudden, you named it. And it was like, well, Lord God, you're going to have to point. And he said, you pointed right at me. And I said, ma'am, I have no earthly idea these things are, you know, weapons. They're used like that. And she said, thank you so much. Amen. It's not about me. It's about us.
Yes.
Let's serve him today.
Amen.
Let's become better every single day. I've never met a person that's been like, my prayer life is as good as it gets. I don't have to worry about anything. If I want it, boom, I got it. Everybody that I hear, even people that I would consider to be great prayer warriors, boy, they're always listening. Boy, when someone gives a thing about prayer, they're always running down to the altar, always making sure that there's nothing between them and God, always begging God, even not only on their behalf, but on other people's behalf. Some of you who have prayer lives, I encourage you, pray for those individuals around you. Remember where people sit. Oh, like any good Baptist, most of us sit in the same area, if not same seat, almost every single service.
Amen.
Some of us, if somebody does sit in our seat, how dare they sit there? Oh, my God.
I've seen it, not here.
Oh, yeah. May not say it out loud, but we know. Like, oh, man. What would Jesus do? Okay. But let us also remember, and even in our mind, in our daily Bible reading, Lord God, be with our dear brother.
Yes.
Lord God, I can only imagine what he sees when he goes to the jail, what he's exposed to. Protect him. Give him a special blessing. And boy, when you come to church and all of a sudden he's like, preacher, man, this happened. And then all of a sudden the preacher gets up and he's like, man, so-and-so got an extra blessing today. Man, he actually got to get up and he got to give the word, even in such a time like this, in the politically correctness thing, and God used him and he won all those people. Boy, on the inside, you can be like, whoa. Why? Because you had just a little bit of that. This message is for someone. If we're not careful, those words will be echoing in your head as much as they echo in mine. Man, you're going to be dumb. Got to be tough.
Amen.
Don't be cursed like I am. But I'm not talking about physically now. I'm talking about spiritually. Let us keep searching, keep searching, keep searching. Let us often say to God, Holy Spirit, please let me know where I can improve even in my life. He will let you know. That's one thing that he is not shy of in speaking to us. Let us all be found faithful. Next time we come, let us all be spiritually moved up some. With our Bible reading, with our love for each other. If you have an enemy, I encourage you. You want to get to love that enemy more? Pray for them.
That's right.
Hard to hate somebody you pray for. It is hard to hate somebody you pray for.
That's right.
So let's constantly be praying for each other. That way, as a mighty church, if we have needs, if we have loved ones who need just a little bit more loving from God, we know that if it's up to us, he has heard us, and he is willing to bless if it's his will. Let us all just be found faithful, because if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church group. We thank you for a pastor that loves them enough to tell them the truth. We thank you for our pastor's family that all these years that have allowed him, Lord God, to spend time with your people and to love them the way that they need to be loved. Lord God, now, a church like this, boy, the potential is unbelievable. Lord God, let us not hinder ourselves in our growth. Lord God, just like what we talked about, we're like, if the Christians would vote, and they would vote the way that they're supposed to, we wouldn't have some of these political problems that we do have. Lord God, I wonder in the church, if we pray and we constantly keep our face before God, I wonder if some of the problems that we have, if they would have gone away or wouldn't even happen if we were constantly yielding ourselves to you, Lord, on a daily basis. Boy, tonight, I'm not sure who's going through a rough time. I'm not sure who's been praying, and it seems like you can't quite break through. Boy, tonight, I challenge all of you to look at oneself and say, Heavenly Father, he didn't name my sin, but Lord God, you sure did bring it to my mind. I sure do need your help. Oftentimes, just like this morning, there's nothing like talking to a man of God. Just help me. Just please help me. Just please pray for me. Some of you, maybe the best thing that you could do is just go all in. Just like the banner, I kept nothing back. Not only from the church, but from yourself. God wants to bless you. In fact, God says that he wants to give thee the desires of thy heart. Boy, if it wasn't true, he wouldn't have put it in scripture. But yet he did for you and for me. That's how much he loves us and cares for us. Let us make sure that we are found faithful in the area of praying. We are found faithful in the area of surrender and yielding ourselves to you as only we can. Here in a second, pastor's going to come. He knows you a little bit better than I do. He knows some of the struggles and some of the stuff that he's going through, that the church is going through, or he knows some of the safeguards to set up to where we never have to go through some of these things. So I'm going to ask him to come now. Those of you who need to do work with God, please, 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 the last thing that I would tell you is please don't be dumb. We already got enough tough people around here.
God made the altar, keep your heads bowed, to humble us. Say, well, I can just pray in my seat, preacher. You can. But are you willing to take that step to humble yourself? You'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores of hands. You may put them down. If your hand went up, maybe you ought to, as long as you're physically able, try to come to the altar. Humble yourself. You know, it's hard to be tough on your knees. Maybe your hand should have gone up, and it didn't. Find your way to the altar. Why don't you do business with God tonight?